Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
All right, thank you, Scotty Goss and Combo out of Medford, Oregon, for that great promo and intro to the show. You have tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, and the man who's certainly capable of handling all sorts of crises and events if I happen to drop dead at any minute, my commander-in-chief, Chris Switzer.
Yeah, oh, Chris. By going, hello, is this thing on? Hello? Yeah, that's... That's how I handle a crisis, boy.
That's what we do, boy, and that's how we do it.
How are you, Ray Ray, on this fine fall day?
Nice, I'm very good.
Yes. Crisp and clean. You got a flask in the hip, and you're kicking leaves, and you're throwing a football around. And
wow, I've been dreaming of days gone by, huh? Nice. Yeah, things are good. Everything is fine. Feeling a little mushad the last couple of days, just a little bit of sluggish and tired and, you know, just, you know, I don't know, who knows? You know, I've been a little busy, so that accounts right for a lot. But we're okay. We're doing what we're here. We're not quarantined. We're not in the hospital.
That's always a plus. Yes, we're still amongst the living, amongst the COVID-less. But I got to bring up something. I was wondering if you had
the wastebasket, because last
after I bring it up, everybody will need a wastebasket. No, I got to talk to you about a leak.
Okay.
just bear, hear me out here for a second.
That would scare most co-hosts.
Well, if I mix it in with like a burn, yeah, then we have a problem. But no. I have come to realize I am the individual. I am the guy that works on cars that can actually get a leak to happen ever so slowly. Like you have one of these leaks where, you know, sometimes you have a gusher, right? Oops, got to take care, tend to that right away. Sometimes you have like a drip, blip, 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 blip. Sometimes you have a stream, right? I can get a little tiny droplet to hang off a connection for months.
Oh, cool.
For months. Like, basically the transmission pan on the Chrysler, right? I did the transmission service, and I was able to tighten down the pan, and I slid a piece of cardboard under there just to make sure to watch if it leaks or not. Well, for the last, I think I did this horrendous job a couple of weeks ago. I literally looked under the car, and there was one drop, Ray. One little freaking drop. Yeah. I get one drop a month. It's like, what in the world? How do you remedy that? I mean, and to top it off, I go to the transmission line that runs into the radiator, and I told you I had the radiator out of the car. Well, I put those transmission lines back in, or connect them back to the existing radiator. One drop, I swear. It's like, I don't know how I do it. I don't know. It's a science. I have no clue. But you just get one drop every 6 weeks. It's like, whoever heard of such a leak?
That's good.
It's good.
No, it is.
No, I want it to be leak-free. Well, I don't want it to leak at all.
Well, okay. We were just talking about this. Mike is going to be bringing his Chevelle back to the shop. And that car has a nagging transmission leak also. It's a little more than one. It's not a constant drip. It's not a gusher. But it will leave a little bit of a stain on the floor over time. And that is a little more annoying because when you're in a driveway, unless you have a pan under it, it's going to be an issue.
Right.
So, you know, I was discussing this with some other people and we all said, you know, like older cars, you know, at what point, you know, we kind of want them to be, I don't want to use the word perfect because I certainly don't expect my cars to be perfect. I know they're not, but we like them to emulate more of the newer cars in a lot of ways.
Right.
And drip being drip free is one of them. And it just doesn't listen. I put a post up on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook, which by the way, you can find those social media sites by looking for Motor Mouth Radio on, you know, our website, Twitter and Facebook. Instagram is real_MotorMouthRadio, Joe's favorite. Yes.
Joe's favorite.
And you should follow them and like us and go to Motor Mouth Videos on YouTube because we are constantly putting up some really good videos that are little excerpts from the show from our
Hour
and whatnot. There's
and you get to see the ants in my pants and you get to see you doing hand gestures. It's pretty funny.
Exactly. So people should go and do that. But anyway, what I did is I put a post up. One of the things I do, you know, I watch, you know, this, I love 70s TV shows. It's just something that takes me home, you know.
You really?
Yeah. So I was watching Emergency, like I watch almost every day, and I noticed something, and I took pictures of my TV screen like I typically do with my phone, and then I cropped them, and I posted them, and I said, hey, what do you see in this picture that you don't see anymore today?
Bad acting.
People say, wow, old fire trucks. Hey, look, a Z28 Camaro. And look.
Good
and
acting.
There was an overhead shot from a rooftop where they had a rescue guy, and you look down at the parking spots, and every parking spot had a big black grease spot in it.
Ah.
Remember when the roads had a big black stripe down the middle?
Yeah.
Those cars would leak all the time. Engine oil, transmission fluid, you name it.
Yes.
Look today, you don't see that anymore.
No.
We've cleaned up our act in that regard. Engines are and transmissions are sealed better, and they don't do that.
Very true.
So, yeah, when you go back to a car that's from that era, that's what you should expect. So I don't think you know, even though your leak is something that I may work on myself to try to fix, I don't think it's not as disconcerting as you know, a gusher, you know.
Oh, no, not at all. But it does have a certain amount of annoyance because now you have to make that big decision. And you've made this decision before, right? Where you get your wrenches back on that coupling. And you're going to give it that extra quarter turn of tightness.
Right.
To see if you could squash that leak. And you will continue to do this until either the leak is gone or you've just had your day ruined.
Correct.
One or the other.
So let me back up a half a step and see. Are you think the leak is coming from the transmission line?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it compression fitting?
No, it's one of those brass threaded ends on either side, that one threaded end goes into the radiator and the other threaded end, there's a cap with a flared metal tube. So would that be considered a compression
fitting?
That
is. Okay. Yeah, that little donut inside is called a ferrule. And
right. There's no rubber grommet there or anything like that.
No. What it lets you do is take a piece of straight tubing. You don't have to flare it, in other words. You just leave it straight. You slide the nut over it. Then you slide the ferrule over it. And then
That's not it.
No, because then the piece in the middle is what the nut threads onto and pushes the ferrule into the taper. And
agreed.
That's what makes the seal.
But that's not what this is. It's just basically a flared metal tube.
Okay.
With what would you say?
It's a union. Then what you do, then if you have a flared tube with an end, then what you're using is a union.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? You may have to remake that joint and you know, then you got to decide, okay, how far back do I want to go? And like I said, you touch one thing and then, you know, it's like when I fixed the brake, I had a brake leak in my Riviera many years ago on the line. It popped, you know, so I cut out that section and used I actually flared the ends and used two unions. And, you know, a week later, boom, it popped a couple feet up the line. And before you know it, I was like, you know what? I should have just changed this whole damn thing once and for all. And those are the decisions. But, you know, not having to drive the car every day, you're fortunate that you can do that at your leisure.
You know? Oh, yeah. You know, they talk about dropping the mic Well, I dropped the wrench. I just bing, I'm done.
Right.
Get to that point. You get so frustrated. You get to that point where you just pick up the wrench and boom, on the floor, I'm out of here.
Mike,
heck with this, because I'm going after it with a ball peen hammer if I can't fix it right away.
Just like our good friend Larry, go put on your leisure suit and have a nice cool drink and go visit the lounge, because, dude, you can just chill out and go do something else. Go find the code for the back room.
Exactly. Get away from what frustrates you.
And if anybody knows what I'm talking about, they're definitely over 40.
Leisure suit Larry.
In the land of the lounge lizards. I'm playing that game. Loved it. I think I had version 2 also. I think I had part 2.
I got version 5.
Five. I didn't know it went that far. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, survived.
Well, no, this is back in 1991.
Yeah. I thought they killed him by version 4.
He started over again.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
But yeah, so these are the things that I found that throughout my life, I installed a dishwasher one time, and the feed had the hot water feed running down to the basement. I had tied it down in that little small mail slot that you have to work in under the dishwasher. And I just gave it that tighten. And of course you see that little sweat, you'll get that little sweat ball, Ray. You get that little, right through the threads, you'll get that little bit of water coming through, just a tiny little bit. And you're like, if I tighten this thing again, there's going to be a gusher. You know, when it's screaming tight and you still see that little water droplet and you're like, gah.
Yeah.
Makes me berserk.
I know. We all fight with that. Sometimes you can take it apart and maybe just move things a little and tighten it again. And in a perfect world, it goes away. Sometimes it gets worse.
Most of the time it gets worse.
And then you're like, you know what? Cut it out and just start from scratch. I know that's one of the banes of auto repair and auto restoration and just keeping old cars alive. We fight that stuff all the time. It's maddening.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I was looking at, here's another thing that I can only say to my co-host. You know, Ray, I have a leak in my rear end.
I know.
Mm.
Yeah. That's a little tougher one.
Ponder that.
More, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's. I don't know whether it's coming from the pinion seal now or if it's coming from the pumpkin itself. I'm not sure.
You had mentioned that a while ago, and it's probably the pinion seal because that's the most common place. And the seal is, you know, the better part of 50 years old. So it's, you know, they dry out. Now, what you got to do is remove the drive shaft. The pinion, the nut is the big thing. Getting that nut loose at home with hand tools isn't sure.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm going to have someone do it. I'm going to a gentleman do it on a lift with a lot of leverage.
I saw a guy do it once at home, and what he did was put the nut on the pinion, a socket on the pinion nut with a long breaker bar, so it wedged it against the ground, and he made a shaft to come off one of the lug nuts and use the rear wheel force to turn the rear end against that breaker bar to break that.
Wow.
They do that with Harley Davidsons to get the compensating nut loose. It's a huge nut and it's like 200 foot pounds. What they would do is take a socket with a big breaker bar. I saw this at Rolling Thunder, and they would bump the starter on the motor, and it would make the motor turn against the breaker bar. The rear of the bike would jump up off the lift, and you boom, 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 back that a couple times. Of course, you disconnect the ignition so you can't start the bike.
Right.
And that nut would usually, you know, just break loose. So, yeah, that's called, you know, backyard invention. So.
Right. They've done the same things with the crank pulley bolt.
Sure.
They hook up a breaker bar fair and then bump the starter. And I always think to myself, my fear is hooking up the breaker bar the wrong way. And you hit the starter and
the one revolution.
We're swinging that breaker bar.
Well, you know, hitting the floor, okay, maybe it dents it. The worst part is if it hits and slices like the brake and fuel lines in the way. Now you got two other projects. What I did at the shop working on some of these newer cars, a lot of SUVs and some of the Mercedes, the lug nuts are torqued to like 115, 120 foot-pounds.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous, but that's the factory spec. I bought a 4-foot breaker bar off the tool truck.
Wow.
And that's what you need to get on there. Well, at least that's what I need to get on there and break these nuts loose sometimes.
Leverage. Whew. Yes.
Yeah.
Leverage is your friend. I had to take out one of the O2 sensors in that 84 Corvette I had.
Yeah, miserable.
And that thing, I made some affair. I had to come off it and down out from under the car, and I was able to put my breaker bar when I was literally standing next to the front door. And I just, that was the way I was able to extract it. But that first turn, that crack that you hear and you think you've broken everything in sight, like pow, and watch the whole car like spaz out and jumps.
Yeah, I check like knees and elbows, make sure it wasn't one of those joints.
Yeah. We've gotten to that age.
Yeah, I'm old, definitely.
In our 20s, we never did that. Now in our much older years, we go, was that me?
Yeah.
Was that noise me?
And I'll tell you what, if that was you or someone you know, you can call us and tell us about it at 516-256-9510. Call Chris and Ray, the Motor Mouse, and we'll entertain your cracks and...
Yes, our phone line is open, 516-256-9510. Write it down.
Hey, you know, I heard a disconcerting story for all of our Jersey friends this week. This was actually I heard it on Monday, where they said the gas tax was raised in New Jersey as of, I guess, Thursday.
Yes.
First by 9 cents a gallon.
Isn't that amazing?
Is that, you know, if
the New York
to be true, call us and tell us that. That's, I mean, it used to be we would go, you know, of course, on our E-Town sojourns and on our you made multiple trips to Jersey. That was always time to fill up. Not anymore.
Sometimes just to go get gas.
The bridge toll was lower. Now that's $16, right?
Yeah.
When did that go up again? I don't even know.
Yeah, who knows? I don't think I've touched a New York City bridge, and I can't tell you how.
Lucky you.
Yeah, the closest I get now is the Tappan Zee. Oh, wait. The Mario Cuomo, the Goomba Bridge.
You got it right the first time.
It's a Tappan Zee.
I'm not one for changes like that.
Yeah, you and I both. We both have a problem with changing the names of major structures. I still don't know where the Robert Kennedy Bridge is. What is
that? I think that may be the Triborough.
I think it's a Triborough.
Which one's the Ed Koch? Did they give Ed Koch a tunnel? I don't know if they gave him a tunnel or a bridge, but Koch has one too. That may be the Battery Tunnel. I don't know.
I know that's isn't that the 59th Street Bridge? Which was the Queensboro Bridge? Which was
Queensboro Bridge? Well, see, now it's got three names, right? How many more do you want to pile on?
Right. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And then you keep names like the Kosciuszko Bridge. Oh, right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, I get it. You know, you change the name of a street or a roadway. You put the second sign below it. It doesn't usually go because it's usually a person's name, so it's an honorary thing. But yeah, to make an official change like that is tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should have named a stadium after Jackie Robinson, as far as I'm concerned. You know, something that was, you know,
instead of the Innerborough.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it was, right? Wasn't it the Innerborough Parkway?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Correct. Well, do you know anybody that still calls it Idlewild Airport? I don't know.
I said that a couple weeks ago.
Come on, you did not.
Oh yeah, I did.
You said Idlewild?
I said Idlewild Airport. Like what? What are you talking about? Like it's a new airport. Yeah, they're just finishing building it now.
Now, mind you, no one under the age of 40 knows what the heck we're talking about when we say Idlewild.
Yeah,
unless they were watching Goodfellas. That's about it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, funny.
Which Idlewild is John F. Kennedy Airport.
That's right.
Which you find on the Scenic Belt Parkway.
Boy,
yeah,
right.
that has been my issue lately has been leaks. I actually was talking to a good friend of mine down in South Carolina who sent me up some parts for the big old beast. And what's kind of cool is I got a clock. I got another clock in the box. I haven't even looked at it yet. We've been so busy. The box is still sitting at the front door. But I know there's a clock in. Huh?
Do I have to call Marilyn, the crazy
clock lady? You may have to. Well, that was the problem because I scored a clock over at the Chrysler's at Carlisle. and I was like, this is, it looks nice. And it was fairly cheap. It wasn't that expensive. And it was a 69. It would bolt right into the dash because, you know, I like doing stuff like that. Yeah. So I brought it home and I hooked up just to see if it would get power. I just hooked up power to it. It spun like it was in the Twilight Zone. Wow. No, arms are going crazy. And I'm like, what in the world is this? So I take it apart. Of course, it takes years to take apart a clock from 1969. So I take the thing apart and I look at it and one of the shafts is busted.
Oh,
right. Boy. How in the world can this happen? How could damage like this happen? The shaft was broken. It was wobbling. One of the gears was just sitting there wobbling.
Well, yeah, when it was out of the car, most likely that happened. You know,
maybe
that doesn't happen in the dash.
No, maybe not. Yeah. So I'm like, So of course I have to take, you know, a clock comes apart in layers.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like a tiramisu.
Yeah, right. And I had to get down to like where the cream was in the tiramisu in order to access that shaft. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do this. So, of course, I go on eBay and I take a look on eBay for clocks of this vintage. Well, these people are asking way too much money for these things. And we're going to go to the phones and we're going to go to the fun and we're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, it's Al Handy. How are you?
Hey, Al, how are you? You're on with Ray and Chris.
Hey, Al.
And Chris, yes. How's it going?
Cool. What's happening this week, Al?
Change of road names. Glen Cove Road?
Yeah.
Years and years and years ago, it was called Guinea's Wood Road.
That sign
and
still
exists. You can imagine why.
That, there's a sign that still exists. I've seen it. I have seen it.
You're kidding. Yeah. That's what it was called? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
No, glad they changed
it. You know why, don't you?
I can only imagine. But I'll let you tell us.
Hey, all I know is I meet up there with some guys and we wear our t-shirts, you know, we get a little cigar, we sit there with a little maybe some Anisette and we hang out, you know what I'm saying?
You know, we got our hair, right, you know, exactly. He touches my hair, you know.
It's all right. Don't worry.
No.
Don't worry about it.
Change the subject really quick.
Yeah. Who is that?
Change of subject really quick. Yeah. Maybe Matt Coman can answer this. I'm looking for a relatively inexpensive scanner that will do both the body and the engine.
You have said the magic oxymoron of the automotive world, cheap and scanner.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap ones don't do what you need them to do, and the scanners that are real cost a lot of money. I'll tell you this, Al, you know, I went through this many, many times with Joe because I always, you know, I always figured he would have the magic answer because he's the scanner man. And he said, listen, there is no magic answer. The only thing you can do, the best way into a cheaper scanner is hopefully if you have an older vehicle. And what you do is you buy one that somebody either traded in or isn't using because they bought a new one. And then the database only goes up to say, you know, 2010 or 2009, but you're causing
right, yeah, certain year,
and then yeah. Those you can get cheaper.
Right. Now, isn't there some scanners that have the plug-in chips for the different years?
There's a lot of different styles. I got a couple upstairs. Some of them had cartridges. Some had not a chip, but like a memory card. And now others, like, you know, the newer ones do it all wirelessly through the internet. So they took that away from you now.
Al, what kind of car are you looking to scan? Are you just looking for a scanner to do all different cars?
No, just my Chrysler cars. I got a Jeep and my Ram.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 2011 just threw the codes for, I think, a wheel sensor, but I can't read them.
Right.
You know, you bring them into the dealer and it's $300-$400.
Right.
About a TPMS sensor, Al?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
No, a wheel sensor. Actually,
the wheel sensor.
Anti brake and the anti skid. And the last time it was one of the sensors, I think, for the anti lock brakes.
You know, I'll tell you this. I have to have one upstairs. The Autel scanners do that. The Autel is a brand. Yeah, Joe remembers all this stuff. The Autel company kind of took somebody else's, another one of the big guys' platform, and just kind of copied it. and kind of bootlegged it.
Okay.
And they were able to do that because they changed enough to make it not the same. And so when you use it, it's not 100% the same. There's a couple little glitches that you'll find. But I've scanned, done wheel speed scans with the Autel. They're among in the lower price. I hate, I'm not going to use the word cheap because it doesn't exist. They're in the lower priced scanners.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But also I've, now I haven't used one, but I've heard that the Zeus scanners that are, I think it's Zeus, the ones that are sold at Harbor Freight, they have a line of scanners that are, I did read something on it a while ago. They said they were, they gave them a nod. They said, hey, these things, it's like the, they're floor jacks. Like, hey, you know, these things ain't crap like we thought they were. They're not too bad.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I'm thinking with,
those
with
are the jack stands.
Oh, those, forget that. Yeah,
that's... No, those, right. You have to pick and choose when you go to Harbor Freight. But with a Chrysler product, Al, I don't think you're really going to have much of a problem finding like a good price, a couple hundred bucks scanner should actually, do just fine. It's not like you're driving an Audi TT or anything.
No, you know, actually, Chris, Chrysler is one of the companies where you need the factory tool for certain things. You need the factory scanner for certain things.
Right. Yeah, because I got away with my standard scanner with the Dodge.
Yeah, no, just your 300, you can put, you plug in the Etch-A-Sketch and it gives you the.
Yeah, right. I plug in an AM radio.
Yeah, right.
And those, the stuff you really worry about with the Chrysler's is it's like, with any car company, you usually get in trouble when you get into body control stuff, body control modules, when you get into the CAN bus stuff, and wheel speed sensors kind of cross over into that. But
Right, exactly.
You know, I'll make a note, Al. I'll do a little bit of research, see if I could find something, some, you know.
Yeah,
some,
but I mean cheap. I mean something that's under $5,000 or $6,000. I mean, I've seen.
Then call Brian.
A couple thousand. Yeah, right, exactly.
Because Brian, you know, Brian's a Matco tool dealer, and he takes stuff on trade. So guys want the newest, and they'll trade in the – and then he, you know, they kind of – if it needs refurbing, they do that, and then they will – you know, the tool truck. See, the tool truck is like buying a car off a dealer lot. You got somebody to go back to if there's a problem.
True.
Right, exactly.
That is smart.
Yeah. You know, Brian is reputable. And Matco Man, Brian, well, people – I just want to say people can find him if they look Matco Man – Look at it, look on Twitter, look on Instagram. He's got a Facebook page, Matco Man Brian, and there's a link to him on our website, motorathradio.com.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting. You know, these computer cars are a pain in the rear end. They're great. They drive fantastic. They're not smelly. But once things go wrong, it's a pain.
You know, let me throw something out there. With a wheel speed sensor, I kind of know the stuff you do with your vehicles. There is a tone ring, and if it cracks or breaks, it's got to be changed. But any grime or buildup between the sensor, the magnetic sensor, and the tone ring is gonna screw the signal up. So get in there and get a good look, a physical look, and maybe blow some air in there. Just see if there's anything built up that you can clean out.
Yeah, clean it out.
I've done that. Yeah. I've cleaned them. I've literally cleaned them and put them back in. And that light goes off.
Yeah.
It can be just that easy.
Because I'd like on the Ram itself, the 2500, the tire pressure things are set for 60 pounds. I think that's way too heavy for an empty truck.
Wow.
Especially in the rear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to, you know, I want to either disconnect them, which you can. They come from the factory disconnected, the bigger trucks.
Right.
But the lighter trucks, I understand you just shut that off and then, you know, I could run 40 or 45 pounds of pressure in the tires and not wear out the outsides, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
So,
yeah, you have to look in. You know, that the internet is good for that, to find that procedure.
Right.
Well, keep us up on that, Al. Let us know how you make out.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Al.
Take care.
Thanks, Al. We'll talk to you soon.
Be safe.
Very good.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I had sicked Al on the case. I'm looking for the steel wheels for the Toyota. I want to put steel rims on the thing. And I knew Al was in that community, in that kind of Jeep and off-road community. And this Toyota is definitely one of the favorite off-road vehicles. So
you now own it.
Well, I've committed to it. I haven't actually paid for it yet. I've started working on it. I was working yesterday.
You have committed to it.
I have committed to it, which means my Mazda is on the chopping block. It is going to be going to hopefully a good home somewhere. So if you know anybody who likes a little car with the stick shift, send them.
Yeah, me.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, but I don't have room.
It's small. It fits almost anywhere.
Well, if you unload the Impala,
yeah,
then you'd be able to keep the Mazda.
Yeah, you know, well, that's the thing. You know, no one else in the house can drive it because it's a stick. So it doesn't do any other purpose, and neither no one else drives the Impala either. So that
I was going to say, no one drives that either.
Right, that does no other purpose either. So either way, it doesn't really fill the dual purpose goal, except to make me happy. But yeah, the funny thing was I told Mike, I said, you know, let me check and see how the insurance is going to change between a little Mazda 3 and this Toyota.
Good question.
Because that's a deal breaker. If it really goes up a lot, that's going to be like, you know what? That's another thing that's in the negative column. Right. And I have
because it's already got a miserable gas mileage compared to the Mazda, right?
You know, it's actually about or a little better than the Impala for gas mileage.
Well, you still have the same tank of gas in the Impala from what? From 2004?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah. Well, yeah. See how much I drive. Yeah. I'll
so that's not a comparison.
You know what? It's like they say 16 to 18 around town, 20 something on a highway. It's not the worst that there is. I mean, I'm getting worked up over it because I'm driving a little four-cylinder with a stick. So, I mean, I'll get 24, 25 around town with the Mazda, and I can get over 30 on the highway. But literally for the driving I'm doing, it's not that bad. It's a mental thing, you know. But
that's what I'm getting on the Explorer. I'm getting about 17, 18 miles to a gallon. And no matter what I do, I cannot get that mileage up any more than it is. No matter what I do, it's
not that bad.
Mm-hmm, right.
But anyway, I had a check to see if the insurance would change drastically. And you know what? It stays the same. And that's full collision with theft. Full collision with glass and the whole nine. I said, well, okay, there goes that excuse.
Yeah.
And I like it. You know what it is? The biggest thing in the plus column is I've always, always liked it. Since I first saw them, I thought it was a cool-looking vehicle.
They are.
And that's why we buy stuff, because we like the look of it, you know?
Yeah, they are. And I've always gravitated to them also. But prices are...
Oh, they hold their value.
They don't go down.
No. They, in fact, they've gone up.
I think so.
Ridiculous. But I'll tell you what else is going up. Our flag has gone up. We have to take our bottom of the hour break. We're a little late, but that's okay. And I need to know from you, Chris, if we have more video content in an hour group of the honor so I can do this while you talk.
Well, of course we do, Ray. And it's the honor group of the hour, basically. And here's this week's version. If you had trouble with your headliner, have you been having problems with your car driving when the headliner is just touching the front seats? Is it held up with staples? Does it look like a circus tent when it's just being held up by the dome light? You know, if your headliner is impeding your ability to drive a vehicle, you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. So just, you know, try and get it out of your face and continue on the road.
And it also means you're driving an 80s GM product, right?
Which most of our listener base is doing right now.
Pretty much. All righty. So that's great advice as usual from the almighty Honor Group master. And we'll be back. Keep it where you got it with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
All right, we're back. Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We're commiserating on the break, talking about how to sell your car, or how to sell my car. And if you have any ideas or thoughts, give us a call at 516-256-9510, and we will entertain those thoughts, maybe.
Well, I'll tell you, I have been on Facebook Marketplace just perusing, looking for vehicles, and I am in shock with what I see. It's just incredible how people cannot take a decent picture of a vehicle. Either it's 100 pictures of the outside of the car and not one picture of the engine or interior or trunk, or they're trying to basically clean out their yard because there are these dilapidated, disgusting rust hulks that they're asking like boku bucks for, that you literally have to show up with a shovel to pick up half the junk. I'm thinking, you know what? These people just need their yard cleaned, and they want to pay you, or they want you to pay them to take their junk away.
I was
hysterical because there was one guy had a Mercury Marquis, and it was a cheap car. I just had to gravitate to it. It was like $800, and it was on top of two other cars.
Whoa!
It was on top. It was like in a salvage yard. It was out, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I guess there's no test drive today with this one. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun.
All right.
Let's say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yeah, it's Brakeline Bill. How you doing?
Brakeline Bill, how are you?
How are you, Bill?
All right. I do have one of those disgusting 80s GM with the headliner. I only have about 2 feet of it left. I tore the rest out.
We believe you.
What you can do on the cheap, you go in one of these craft stores like Joann's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for a couple of bucks, you get a whole box of those little things. They call it twist pin.
Yeah.
And it's like a little corkscrew with a clear plastic head. You screw that up into the ceiling, and it holds the headliner.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, cool. Very cool. So that holds up what's left of yours, right?
Yeah, two words, cheap.
What was that?
Keywords, cheap.
Cheap, yeah, yes.
If I remember correctly, though, the headliner material was, behind that was like a foam, and then it was glued to the roof. So, like, Chris, you went through that on the Caddy, remember?
Yes, I did.
You almost killed yourself with the the glue. You were high
foam. Yeah, there's some kind of foam. I'm looking at it now. It's that headliner took a vacation like over a decade ago, and I got a box or two of those pins and screwed it up there, and that was it.
You got tired of it flapping in the breeze as you were driving along, right? It was smacking you in the top of the head.
Yeah, I'm going to use what's left of it as a defense on a seatbelt ticket, because there's like a foot or so hanging down. And in the pictures, I'm going to claim that's what he saw, not the seatbelt.
Oh.
Wow. Nice. That's pretty ingenious. I figured you'd use it as a toga or something.
or a thong at this point.
Oh, there's a picture painted in my mind right now.
Yeah.
We really don't want to go there. On the sand pool, if you're looking for the older pre-96, the OBD1,
yeah,
I've got that Actron 9690 that does OBD1 and OBD2. You can probably get it on eBay brand new for under $200.
Wow. Is that one water driven or steam powered?
Yeah.
No, that's one of their newest models.
No, Actron makes some good test tools. They do.
Oh, it's because it doesn't look like a pinball machine, right?
Yeah, and then they've got a 9695, which is going to do you 96 vehicles and up. It's got a little more, I don't know, with ABS and et cetera in there than the one I have.
Yeah.
Well, again, I've got I've got 280 GM, so.
Yeah. A lot of times what they do is they break out and you can get a separate TPMS scanner. They've made some specialty stuff. I actually like for the tire shops, they don't need a full blown scanner. They just need to do the tire pressure, but for the wheel speed, you know, when you get into EVAP and body stuff, that's when you really need to have a good scanner. And that's when you find that some of the lower tier ones lack the information. But you know,
right, but there's two more. There's Innova came out with a 5610.
Oh,
which is bi-directional.
Nice.
And the thing is like 300, a little over 300 on eBay.
I'll tell you this. I'm actually using, I have an Innova 3610, which is not bi-directional. It doesn't do TPMS. And for what it does, it's a pretty damn good scanner. But yeah, you know, they're continually, it's like stereo gear and VCRs. They're continually year after year making them better and a little bit cheaper. And, you know, the technology is moving forward. So they're able to do it and keep the price point somewhat affordable. That's like that.
Yeah, but I can only say that whatever vehicle you own, get on their tech line and make sure that that model tool has got the software to do the functions you're looking to do.
Right. Good point.
Very true.
You know, it may be GM, Ford, Chrysler, maybe some Jeeps, or I call them creeps.
Yeah. You know,
hey, Bill, I got a big question for you.
Yeah.
I got a big question. Do you still practice the Motormouth Radio Jinx?
You know, I do have a brake line on a 95 Chevy van.
Oh, the van.
You've been fighting that brake line for 10 years now.
No, this is one I bought. I got one. For $700, it had like 112,000 and a dial. Actually, I found out. I found a receipt in there. He did the guy's transmission and when it had like 90-something thousand on it. So, nice. You know, not bad. It had like one code in there for one sensor, which I plugged in before I bought it. And that was pretty much it.
So now that you're talking with us, there's going to be even more codes coming up.
you know, 95, there isn't a heck of a lot in there.
Right, right.
All three of them are going to come up.
You know,
well, thanks, Bill. Good to hear from you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's good hearing from you, Bill.
There's another sample if you want to go in with a bit more launch. Makes an X431.
Yes.
They call it the Pro Mini Diagon. That guy on Pine Hollow reviewed it. It's Android-based. It's bi-directional, and it can do a lot.
Very cool.
It's only like 600 and change.
Right.
Yeah, it's only like 600 and something. Yeah, so you're getting a lot. You get free updates with the Innova, but the launch, I believe, you get 2 years.
Right, right.
Already, my
and
brother.
Then, you know, you're on the clock.
Very right. Cool. Well, thank you for the call. We'll talk to you real soon.
Yeah, and you forgot to mention, you know, with Idlewild.
Yeah.
The Car 54 song.
Right.
Oh, right. That's so. No one under the. Right, no one under the age of 50 then knows that one.
Right. Khrushchev's doing Idlewild.
Right.
Exactly.
You remember him at the UN with his shoe off banging on the table?
Those were the days.
That's on YouTube.
Now no one under the age of 60 knows.
He says, "We will bury you."
All
right, my brother.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. We'll speak to you very soon.
Yeah, hang in there.
Bye-bye.
All right.
You know, Joe had said, Joe told me that the original OBD1 scan is, if you remember, it was just a paper clip and a test light. That's
really
how you did OBD1.
You bet. I do remember that. Connect this paper clip and put them in these two holes on either side of the connection and read the flashing light on the dash. I mean, you couldn't get any more, simpler than that, if that's...
Exactly.
Easy. Yeah, I remember doing that on. I had many cars, and it's just like Bill says. He's part of our Motormouth Radio listenership. I mean, he's got a GM vehicle from the 80s or 90s, probably both.
Right.
But yeah, you brought up the incident with that Caddy Brougham that I won, and that car, we had to put the headliner back up, and I did exactly what you said. I took the headliner down, and then you had to scrape that schmutz, which used to be the foam rubber. You had to scrape that off. There was like
is that in a decoder, by the way? Is that in a Motormouth Radio decoder, schmutz?
Schmutz, maybe.
It should be if it's not. Yeah.
Well, schmutz is what's left after that kind of that foam rubber decomposes.
But hold on, just let me interject for a second. It's very close to, but it's not actually what you used to get on the roast beef sandwich at the deli, right?
Oh, that's schmutz.
Right. See, some people can be confused by those too because they're kind of close, right?
Especially when you walk into John's Deli on 86th Street.
Don't ask for the schmutz.
No. If you walk in there and ask for a ham and cheese sandwich, he'll go, "Hey, you want extra mutz with that?"
Right.
It's like, one with what? It's because he was serving roast beef and mozzarella sandwiches. That was the special. That's what you had to order. wait, our internet know-it-all is searching through the decoder.
There it is.
The decoder section on Motormouth Radio. Yes.
It is
there.
So anyway.
Model efficiency.
So I'm sorry to
No, that's fine. Right. We don't have too much time left. But anyway, I was able to get that headliner down and then scrape that stuff off and find the thin foam. Now, mind you, I had to go to a place not far, someplace in Long Island. I had to pick it up. It was like some sort of back room type of supply.
Foam world.
Yeah, foam world, exactly. And I remember I had to buy, like, I don't know, maybe 50 feet of this stuff.
Oh, geez.
Just to get enough to put up as a headliner. But that's what I did. I had to use the spray adhesive, the 3M spray adhesive, and spray that cardboard backing that was up there with the adhesive, and then sit there and wait 15 minutes, and then lay that foam rubber in. And then at that point, then you had to spray it again, spray the spray adhesive, sit and wait 15 minutes, and then you were able to reapply the headliner. And that was the way I was able to get that done. But, oh, yeah, there was a time where my wife was in the front seat, I was in the back seat, and it wasn't even Saturday night. And we were putting the headliner up, and we were like, "Hey, this worked fine," and it came down on top of us. It was like we're under a blanket. It's like, wait a minute, what a fiasco! It was awful, but we were able to finally get that headliner back up, and it was a joy to behold. I don't ever want to do it again.
No, I'll tell you the God's honest truth. All the work that I've done in restoring my Pontiac, I like to have hands on. I like to do as much of it as I can, and of course, I didn't do the body work and paint because that's not my foray.
Right.
The only other thing that I farmed out to somebody else to do was the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
I paid a guy to do the headliner because, you know, Mike had a guy, and I said, "Good, while it's in there, let him do it." And that's not even the foam one. That's a traditional vinyl with the bows and all that, which a lot of people would say is a piece of cake, but I don't work well over my head like that. I follow my own advice where I say, hey, you know what? If you're not comfortable or not up to doing something, pay someone and pay a professional because you'll get a better job than you could have done yourself. And
you are
saving the money sometimes isn't always worth it. If all you're going to do is look at that one spot and say, ugh, that damn wrinkle or that crease or, you know, where you put the screwdriver through it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I do the same thing with convertible tops. When I do a convertible top, a lot of times there's always that one wrinkle and you're like, oh man, I should have paid to have this done.
You know, now I tell you the funny story. I did do the convertible top on my Fiat. I called Honda John and I did it. And I said, you know, I remember at the time, I didn't know if I was going to keep the car. It was, you know, very early on. And I remember looking and I bought a vinyl top and I really wanted the cloth top, which is real nice. But I said, double, I'm not going to commit to the price of a cloth top on a car I don't know if I'm going to keep or if it's going to be worth keeping. Right. And we did the
vinyl. And this is the one that the Fiat you've had for the last 20 years, right?
16 years later, yeah. 16 years. And it's not perfect. I mean, when we did the top, we tweaked something a little because when you flop it up on the head bow, you know, you got to kind of shove it over a little before you close the latch. It's, you know, it's like anything else. It's just, it needs that little bit of a massage to be right. And for some reason, it doesn't bother me. I don't know why, but that doesn't bother me. It's
like the whole... The whole car, you have to do exactly that to do anything in the car. You got to bump it or squeeze it or push it or
pretty much true, yeah.
Lean on it before you do anything in that car.
Yeah. I remember Joe saying his the minivan, his toolbox, the headliner was so long it had yardage lines marked on it.
He could have used it as a toga.
Oh, hell yeah.
But yeah, there is nothing like the look of a convertible top that is just perfect, that sits so well, that comes down onto the header just so perfectly. Right. There's nice nothing tight. Like it. Yeah.
I'll tell you how stupid car guys are. And I'm pointing to myself when I say that. When I did that convertible top on the Fiat, you just reminded me, there is what's called a header bow that goes inside the front of the top. And that's what actually the latches connect to. It's a big piece of metal, and it's contoured. Very important part.
Yes.
And the one on my car, like all those Fiats, had rust in the corners. And I had a parts car at the time. And I ripped the one out of the parts car. I was told it was a good one. And I found out it was worse than the one I had.
Uh-oh.
So John and I cleaned it all out and brazed. We used what we had. We brazed it up and cleaned it up as best we could, put it in. Put the top on the car, and maybe this is why nothing is, it's not perfect. I don't know. But after that, on eBay, I found a guy somewhere out in the Midwest that had the header bow in like really, really good, almost like perfect shape. And I bought it. And where is that right now? It's sitting in the loft in my garage. I didn't take the car apart to install the good one. No, I have the doctored one in the car, and a good one is sitting up there to go to the dumpster someday. I mean, you know what? Hopefully I can sell to a guy and get some good bucks for it because you just can't find them in that shape.
Right, but it's not in your car.
Right. That's the stupid car guy. We all do that, right? I mean, don't we, you know, have you ever done that? Got a part after the fact and then didn't put it in. It sat on a shelf.
Guilty. Incredibly guilty.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then you end up selling the car, and then you sell the parts.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many times on eBay I've put down, I said, car is long gone, and I'm left with this part.
You know, the beauty of it, it's the gift that keeps on giving, the way I look at it, because now we, you know, now we get to profit from that car in the parts that we have.
Yes. Know? Oh, yeah. No, it's the truth. It is the truth. I'm still selling some of the parts that my father collected on the Seville. I'm still selling that stuff. Like, I come across it and go, what is this? I open it up. It's a brand new signal light, cornering light for a 77 Seville. It still has the GM package around. I'm like, what? Friend, this is in a box.
Hey, look, it's a green rotary telephone. Where did I get this?
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yeah, it's true. Those rotary telephones are, I'm sure. I always said this. The I was selling rotary telephones when he had them. I don't know why he had them. Who knows? But he had brand new rotary telephones in the garage. And I asked him, I says, what do you want me to do with these things? He says, I gotta throw them out. But I ended up selling them. And I think truthfully, a lot of prop houses bought them.
Yeah.
And I always think of, if you watch any Mad Men or anything like that, that set a genre in the 60s somewhere, and you see a phone on a desk, that could have come from, you know, right here.
You know, that's the thing. You know, just in our world, we touched on that when we did the Hard Part South Bronx TV show with Joe Ferrer. Right?
Yeah.
They had us come in on the street, and we were to be the, we were doing a, supposed to be doing a radio show from the sidewalk in the Bronx in front of B&S Auto Parts to get people to come in to try and fool Joe on a part.
Right. Reality TV at its best.
And they had a full studio set up on that table. The boards, the headsets, the mics, and the headsets and mics work because we could hear each other, but everything else was just dummy. And I remember we were talking to the producer and said, did you guys get this stuff? Oh yeah, some prop house on 46th. I know a guy. And we had to bring the first stuff back because it didn't actually work. We needed something that would work, and that's how we got this. Yeah. I remember thinking, like, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, they were giving us instruction. Bring that pot up until the light is around here, and it did nothing.
Right. I have copies of that. I have a copy of that show somewhere. I don't know if it exists on the internet anywhere. Someone asked me about it years ago, and
really,
I don't know. Yeah, you know, that show ran for a season. That was it. But we were in that one episode.
Right. We were in the. It was the full episode, right? That's what we were credited to have, the full episode, because usually you had part of it, right? It was segmented into like threes or something.
Right.
But we had the full episode. Ooh. Right. I still put it on my resume.
Yeah, why not?
Hard Part South Bronx, baby.
Absolutely.
We were there.
That was a fun day. Yeah.
That was a couple of fun days, right? If I remember correctly. And that was it was the last time we were on television.
We had to go back for a recall, which often happens. Yeah, right. We had to go back to call us back, and they had to do a few other scenes, reshoot a few things, and
They asked us to wear the same clothes, and I was like, hey, that's easy. I'm wearing the same clothes from then anyway. So I never took them off.
I spoke to the producer on the phone, and he said, you know, nothing changed, right? I'm like, no. I think my haircut was maybe in between a month. I said, but I had shaved. I'd made a difference to my face. And he was, oh my God, can you grow it back? Like, what do you think I am, the Wolfman? I am a Rob Leonard? I can grow hair in like a day? So we did the best we could, and obviously it worked. So
yeah,
they really wanted the shows. How other shows are not that correct. They wanted to be correct, and they did a good job.
They did.
I'll tell you what, Chris, it's time for us to get out of here. Kim is going to come in and do Thunder Road. So we're going to get out of here, vamoose, but we'll be back next week.
That's right.
And what do you always say?
Don't follow us home. Especially don't follow the leak either.
No, don't follow the leak either. Hopefully you'll find it. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio is out. We'll see you again next week, and see ya. 90.3 WHBC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.